Hey, we're back here at Downtown 442. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammett Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Good day, Mr. Meehan.
How is everybody in radio?
You know, we're here. Sure, it's cold, but we're not going to be whiny about it. It's Maine. It's winter.
Yeah, it's just that there's, like, the things that kept me awake at 4 o'clock this morning. Will that pipe freeze?
Mm.
Will the car start? Just little things that you're like, I'm not going to bitch about it, except that I know that at this level of unbelievable infernal coldness, things start to go really wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's all. I'm like, you know, we've done the little things, but there's just, you're just like,
We did that. My wife insisted on putting a little bit of cardboard between the garage door and the ground where she had tire tracks, because she was worried the door would freeze shut.
In point of fact, my in-laws do that on a regular basis because theirs does. They happen to have just that sort of incline that, you know, shuttles all the water kind of right to that place, and yeah, it'll freeze otherwise. But they know that. Again, it's like you learn your house's peculiarities, and theoretically you make it through this nonsense. The bigger concern, obviously, for anyone with a dog, beyond the fact that your dog refuses to do what it needs to do, is that your dog will inadvertently kill you by pulling you over that particular patch of ice.
Oh, yes.
Whichever that one happens to be for you. I need to get, my wife has these boots that they're like transformers. They have these little things that, like, you know, you flip it and all of a sudden you've got like spiky feet.
Oh, nice.
Really cool. Yeah. She got that at shameless downtown plug at Valentine Footwear. So, I know she stocks those for women. So if any ladies out there looking for something like that, or gentlemen looking for a nice wintertime gift, there's still time. But aside from that, I mean, things are good. The exodus continues in New York, with the Giants have lost their offensive line coach. He's going to join his old buddy Billy Napier in Florida because, A, Florida is warmer than any place on the Mid-Atlantic coast right now. That's fun. And as we were chatting about before we came on the air, my team is looking for a general manager. I feel like I could do a better job than he did, so I'm throwing my name out there.
Why not?
But aside from that, yeah, it's quiet time at the store. If anybody out there wishing that there was something that we carried, now is the time that a lot of our distributors start to come around and show us some of the stuff that's going to be coming in their spring collections. This is a fun time in case, like I said, anybody's just like, you know, I wish you guys had a better selection of Greek wines or of wines from here or whatever. Now's the time that customer input is actually valuable because we have sort of the time to think about it and work things in. But that's pretty much what's going on. So today I thought, as I do around this time every year, we'll talk about sort of the common misconceptions about wine. And of course, everybody's making their New Year's resolutions. They're thinking about, you know, what's going into my body, perhaps, that I think is a good thing, or that I'd like to have a little bit better knowledge of and control of. So this is the time that I kind of like to bandy about some of the myths that I hear. And I think that the place I'd like to start is not so much a myth as much as a trend that will lead to the furtherization of myths. And that trend is that there's a lot of large investment groups and companies that were never particularly devoted to alcohol in general, They may have holdings in any one of, hundreds of industries, are taking holdings in the wine industry. And in varying levels, like really interestingly varying levels, from, established Bordeaux houses to startup companies devoted to canned wines and things like that. And it almost feels like investment is, right? We're going to take a little bit of everything and see what the heck pans out. And I don't know what this is going to lead to. I'm certain there's a reason I'm not an economic advisor or a financial advisor or anything, and I employ the services of one that I think is far smarter than I. But it's certainly starting to show in things like, well, again, the furtherization of product as opposed to, I suppose that's a silly way of putting it, but of marketable product, shall we put it that way?
What do you mean by that?
Marketing to groups as opposed to people's palates.
Oh yes.
It's diabetics. Diabetics, you should buy this wine because it is specifically aimed at being a lower sugar wine. And those same wines are being marketed to, and this happened in beer, with these beers marketed towards, young, fit people. Well, I just got back from my 80-mile run, and I certainly don't want to pack on the calories that I just burned off, so I'm going to have this 5-calorie beer, it's at a certain level, it becomes patently absurd in ways like, and I'm not, yes, there's ways you can take sugar out of wine, but the easiest way to take sugar out of wine is you take a grape and you crush it and you add a yeast to it, and the yeast eats the sugar and creates alcohol, which reduces the sugar content by creating alcohol and carbon dioxide. And so when you're looking at the amount of residual sugar in most wines, most dry wines, it's really minuscule already because they're dry wine. So what you're seeing is wines that are, it's almost like, what's that stuff? Crystal Light?
Ugh.
It's like, it's still sweet, but it's low calorie. It's like magic. Well, it's not magic. It's chemicals and stuff that they're putting in these things. So I'm saying, like, I can't predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen with some of these premium estates that they're buying, but I am starting to see that there are people just trying to market to groups as opposed to the fact that we're making a really quality product. And if you have health concerns, dietary concerns, for whatever reason, there are, at most reputable producers, there are ways of finding out. There are what we call tech sheets. You can find out the sugar content, etc. If it's that important. But again, you need to sort of bear in mind that these things are sort of have already been figured out by the natural process of fermentation, stuff like that. I fear that they're going to continue to treat that which I love as something that's hyper marketable in ways that, I don't know, I just find sort of distasteful. But I'm old school. I'm very much get off my lawn, and you all know that. There it is. It's just, this is the era of self-education. I was having a chat with a gentleman the other day about self-educating on creating one's own wealth. This is the era where we can find out everything, and that can be good and can be bad. And so, I guess as we go into 2022, if you have questions about misconceptions, ask. And if we don't have the answer, we'll try and help find the answer from leading experts as opposed to just Googling it. So that's important. I'm sure I'm running out of time. Where are we at, sir?
Oh, no, you've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay. Other common misconceptions about wine that I've noticed a lot of people. So if you come into Bangor Wine and Cheese and you go back into our wine section, you'll see two signs, and one says Europe and one says not Europe. And that is my own sort of stupid sensibility about how the wine world exists. But it kind of is and still remains that way, despite cross-pollinization, which is great and encouraged and all that wonderful sort of stuff. But there, I guess going back to my prior point about how much information is out there, there still seems to be a lack of desire to educate oneself on where product comes from and what that might mean in terms of not only what's in the bottle, because that's sort of what we're going to talk about for the rest of the year is, you know, when you drink, you know, a red Burgundy, it's Pinot Noir by law. We'll talk about that later. But understanding the dynamics of the political scene right now, and not just now, but, you know, over the past couple of years, the commercial supply chain issues, it seems like an awful lot of misconceptions about the cost of wines right now are that wine is simply expensive, and wine has definitely risen commensurate to everything else. I guess it's nice that at least we can walk in and buy a bottle of wine right now. We don't have to pre-order it like we would an F-150. but it's a very real thing that even, you know, like I love wine compared to cars because it's very, very similar because they experience a lot of the same issues and a lot of the same stigmas, especially for, you know, vis-a-vis cost. There's part of me that still thinks I can walk in and buy a good used car for $2,000, $3,000 like I could when I was a teenager. Right. And the same is going to exist with wine. So I think that's sort of the thing is understand that when you look, and cheese and beer and everything else, the price of our cheese, for instance, almost every European product and prosciutto, et cetera, that we just got in, well up in price. Right. Just arm your wallets, arm your brains, arm your hearts. It's where we're at. And just be aware that when you are buying, you know, things, you know, stuff that comes down a supply chain that has glass or other things associated, it's pricier. Sorry, folks, but we'll all figure it out. Anyway, be well. I'll talk to you next week. We'll talk about something happier.
All right. That sounds great. Thanks, Eric. Have a good week.
Very well. You too. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.